ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः ओम मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवम् यम ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. सो दिस् थर्ड् चाप्टर् आन् कर्म, द थर्ड् चाप्टर् दि सब्जेक्ट् मेटर् आफ् विच् इस् कर्म एक्शन्. The main topic and discussion is action. And here we saw the Adishankara Bhagavatpada in his Bhashyam presented many arguments. Why has presented arguments? Because the second chapter, Krishna made many things clear to Arjuna. The main thing what he made clear was the self is indestructible. One point one, self is indestructible, not subject to any destruction. And that indestructible self is the only reality of everything. Other than that self, everything else is subject to change, material in nature. Other than the self, everything else coming under the category of anatma is immaterial in nature, subject to change. It is constantly subject to change. The constant change, constant inevitable unavoidable change which happens on the part of the material non-self, is in fact death, are in fact the relative destruction. And this is the fact about the anatma, this is the fact about the atma. In fact, anatma is not something which has existence independent of atma. Anatma is nothing but atma, even though atma is not the anatma. Therefore, anatma can be negated as something which does not have independent existence. Anatma is nothing but the atma alone. What is there is atma alone. Isn't it? This is a fact. And this fact has to, once this fact is understood, then definitely one becomes free from sorrow. And to appreciate this fact actually, isn't it? The sorrowlessness, the real happiness is only in understanding, ascertaining this fact. Isn't it? So for which, but this understanding of this fact needs certain preparedness on the part of the mind. So for which one has to live one's life properly. So living one's life properly implies one living a life of karma yoga. And he also talked about karma yoga in few verses. And there he emphasized, therefore, Arjuna, now you do the karma. But thereafter, when he discussed about a jnani, the way he praised the jnani, praise of a jnani, glorification of a jnani, is in fact glorification of knowledge, isn't it? When a jnani is highly praised, praising of jnani is what? Praise of the jnanam only, isn't it? That means only in jnanam there is real freedom. So, only in jnanam there is freedom. There is fullness, there is limitlessness, isn't it? apart from jnanam, there is definitely inadequacy is something unavoidable. In an inadequacy, sense of inadequacy centered on I will result in all other problems. This is a natural thing. So he made very clear, in jnanam there is fullness, in ignorance there is inadequacy, and inadequacy implies one having all the so-called problems of day-to-day life. There is unhappiness. So he concluded that, like that. So the third chapter, Arjuna's thing was, really, when you say, you know, knowledge, he asked very clearly, I want jnanam. I want that which will free me from sorrow for good. And Krishna is told what, okay, he made very clear knowledge that the freedom, the fullness, the happiness is in jnanam. That means, and that he also said, come on Arjuna, get up and do your duty. It was for Arjuna it was a little, not clear. It means, he thought of completely giving up karma. Arjuna decided to give up karma. When the fact becomes understood, look at this, always it happens. See, initially what happens, all of us are very sorrowful and worried and we have so many problems in life. And you go and ask for a solution. What is it will free me from bondage? You know, that is where actually you are made to understand, come on, what is that you are seeking? You know that. It is not artha, it is not kama. Actually what is ultimately sought is moksha, the happiness, everlasting happiness. And through all these pursuits, when it is said, then you become, oh, this something called absolute end, which is moksha. Artha kamas are relative ends, which I need to live the life in order to, you know, to be able to discover this fact, what fullness is. When the Purushartha Nischaya comes, look at this immediately. See, initially, a person, please understand very carefully, I am talking about in between, when suddenly a person, oh, I want jnanam, immediately, now some people suddenly, until Purushartha Nischaya happens, until one comes to know of what one's absolute end is, how about end the moksha is choiceless end. It has to be accomplished. There's no choice about it. And artha kamas are must. They had to be pursued. Because to live the life. But artha kamas itself are not enough. Because living this life, to live the life, artha kamas are required. But themselves are not enough. Because the very life is lived not for the sake of artha kama, but for some other purpose of accomplishing the moksha. Isn't to discover happiness which is already there. And for which all that one needs is one has to prepare one's mind. And the preparation of the mind required for this discovery implies what? Commitment to dharma. Therefore dharma also becomes a pursuit here. Pursuit means what? What is unavoidable, what is inevitable. All are important. You're living this life for discovering fullness which is already there. And the discovery has to happen only in the buddhi. In your mind, it is not elsewhere. And that buddhi has to be sharp, adequately sharp and pure and steady to be able to grasp the subtle truth, subtlest reality, the most subtlest, the fact of all that is there is only happiness and fullness. Even in fullness, in happiness, everything exists. And that is a choiceless end. And for the discovery, if the mind has to be really, the mind has to grasp this fact, if the subtle knowledge has to dawn in the mind, then definitely the buddhi has to be, clean means, there is choicelessly one has to, one has to surrender to dharma, isn't it? So dharma also becomes a pursuit. And to live this life, artha kamas are must. Isn't it? Therefore, what are the relative ends? Artha kamas are the relative ends, and dharma is, isn't it? It's also committed the pursuit, and the absolute end is moksha, accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished. If that becomes very clear, oh my God, happiness is something choiceless end. And that is something to be discovered, known means, then why should they care for these arthakamas? Let me go for sannyas. Let me really commit myself only to the pursuit of knowledge. I want only jnana. Isn't it? Suppose suddenly some university is opened, and then admissions are announced. A new university has been opened, admissions, people are now invited, application are invited for admissions, in postgraduate class. Suddenly I also want to take the application, because university is opened, they call for admissions, in applications. Let me apply for it. I also want to. It's very, I come to know of the university being available. Similarly, you know, so moksha is the choiceless end, I come to know, and that is something to be discovered. No choice means, immediately I want to know. This is what is, it's all sudden knowledge of Purushartha Nischaya, isn't it? Suddenly makes one, come on, I want to give everything, I want to go for knowledge. It is not for giving up anything. Understand? It's all for, nothing can be given up here. Everything is needed here. Isn't it? So mind has been ready. The qualification is a must, isn't it? Are you qualified for joining the university? Isn't it? Like that here also, what is the qualification? The subtle mind, subtlest mind, which can draw subtlest reality and which can have subtlest understanding of subtlest fact, for that commitment to dharma is a must, isn't it? And one has to live one's life properly, completely, isn't it? Which implies living a life of karma yoga. This we saw. So that is why Arjuna also feels, you say jnanam alone will free me from bondage. And that means then you also ask me to do karma. I can't really understand. Therefore he saw. The first question was what? Karmanaha buddhihi jayasi chet. He Keshava, he Janardana, kim evam gore karmani mam niyojayasi. Why do you ask me to do this action? If in your Krishna, your vision, your opinion, Krishna's opinion is not a contention. Krishna's view is not like anybody else's view. Because human view means what? View is subjective, any contention is subjective, differ from person to person, isn't it? But vision, the fact is not objective, differ from person to person, isn't it? And here, similarly, the Krishna's view is not just the view, it's a vision of the Shastram. Isn't it? It's a fact. What is a fact? Knowledge frees. Knowledge alone liberates, actually. The freedom, happiness is only in jnanam. If that is such a mata, buddhihi, te mata buddhihi, jayasi mata, this buddhi, knowledge of the reality, it being the freedom, it's what it is. It's been considered superior in your view, in your vision, Krishna. Kim, then why do you want me to ask? Why do you ask me to do karma? Then I prefer pursuing knowledge. That's the first question, isn't it? Then Arjuna again thought, if Krishna says something, I shouldn't even contradict. I shouldn't object. I can't object. I know. So he doesn't say Krishna, you're really confusing. He very politely says, your words seem to be contradictory. Eva, he doesn't say you are contradictory. He didn't say. Arjuna did not have the guts to say you are contradictory. Your words are contradictory. He said your words seem to be contradictory. Your words seem to be confusing me, isn't it? Cause confusion in me. So he says now vyamishrena eva vakyena me buddhim mohayasi eva. And then he says, Yena aham shreyaha prapnyam. Please, kim tad ekam nischitya vada. Please tell me only that by which I definitely will attain moksha. All that they want is shreyas. Now you know the word shreyas. Isn't it? Shreyas, praise are two words. Shreyas stands for moksha, nivrittihi. Isn't it? And praise stands for pravrittihi. Shreyas pravrittyatmakam. Shreyas nivrittyatmakam. In shreyas means what? Freedom. Mokshaha. Knowledge of the reality. Fullness. Happiness. Isn't it? says, wherein one is completely free. One is free from what? One is free from all the limitations, free from all the wrong notions about one has about the self, free from ignorance of the self, free from wrong notions one has about the self, free from sense of doership, the sense of one's sense of doership, free from sense of enjoyership, free from what? You know, one is free from all punya papas, one free from all hold of desires, free from hold of all the thoughts. Bhava titaha, isn't it? So, everything is, one is free in jnanam. That's just what is shreyas. And that, please tell me, only that ekam nischityavada yena aham shreyaha apnayam. Isn't it? And that is when, and Krishna opens and he said, I think I explained to you, I don't know whether the previous class or before, the first class, introductory bhashyam, I told you very clearly, he made so clear, we far shreyas, all that you want is jnanam. You know, jnanam is shreyas. Jnanameva shreyaha. Isn't it? Knowledge is moksha. But, you know, to make that, but still, for that jnanam, for one to become ready for that jnanam, there's another lifestyle, isn't it? Therefore, he said, and that jnanam implies living a life of contemplation. Isn't it? For jnanam. For shreyas, what do you want? Jnanam. Isn't it? Shreyase jnanam. Mokshaya jnanam. Jnanaya kim? Jnana yogaha. Jnana yogaha means what? Living a life of self-enquiry. Isn't it? Self-enquiry, or you can say contemplative life. So living a life of contemplation is jnana yoga. A lifestyle fashioned now as like this life of contemplation is what? Is for knowledge. But for to jnana praptihi, jnana yogyata praptihi, jnana praptaye jnana yoga. But jnana yogyata praptaye karma yoga. For jnana praptaye, jnana yogyata prapti. What is that? Attain for what? In order to gain the preparation. Isn't it eligibility for knowledge? Is to have eligibility for knowledge what? Karma yoga lifestyle. Two lifestyles. There are, please, this is a very, very important thing. There are not many paths. He makes it known. How many paths take you to the same goal? What is the goal? Is it very clear, first of all, for everybody? What is the absolute goal? What is the ultimate goal of human life? How many goals are there? Common, human, fundamental, universal, end is what? Freedom. Isn't it? Moksha. From unwanted, undesirable sorrow. Isn't it? Which is happiness. Moksha is what? Happiness, isn't it? What is happiness? Timeless. Isn't it? Timeless, eternal. Isn't it? Fullness. Is moksha really speaking? And that is what? That is what is a choiceless end, isn't it? There's no choice about it. It's a universal end. It's a common end, universal end, ultimate end, choiceless end. Common, human, universal, choiceless end. So how many goals are there? Goal. And Father, how many paths are there? Now tell me. All paths lead to the same goal. Is it possible to say that? How many paths are there? It is an end. If to accomplish the end, which is to be attained, you know, involves time distance or spatial distance, then now you can use karma as means of knowledge. The end, which is to be accomplished, involves distance in terms of time and space. It will take 4 hours to reach there, time distance. Isn't it? It 350 kilometers spatial distance. Then that needs what involves karma of driving or running or walking or jogging, water, flying, whatever you are doing. Some karma has to be done to fill the, isn't it, to remove the distance. Then karma is possible. Then karma is, if karma becomes the means, then you can say many ways of doing it. You can fly, you can drive, or you can walk. You know, like India, now we have pilgrim, we go for pilgrimage with big bag of food at the back. Pack food and water and then oxygen. Suppose people go to higher level things, they go with even large oxygen cylinders, pack everything. Isn't it? So many ways of doing it. If karma becomes a means to accomplish the end, then there's many ways of doing the karma. Then you can say many paths, isn't it? But here, how many ways are there to accomplish the end? It is for this moksha end, isn't it? It doesn't, there's no real, it is not to be attained at all. It only in terms of how it is to be attained, that means there's no distance between, isn't it, the accomplisher and the accomplished. Accomplisher is the to be accomplished end. There's no distance between accomplisher and the accomplished, isn't it? At the end, there's no distance, the only distance being ignorance. The distance has to be removed only by bringing about what? Knowledge. Is it clear what I'm saying? Therefore, if knowledge has to down there to remove the distance between the accomplisher and the account to be accomplished end, you know, how many paths are there? Knowledge. Isn't it? That is where all paths lead to the same goal? You think now. Isn't it? We don't want to say anything. It's only for us to think and to correct in our buddhi, not to talk about it. Let us not offend anybody. Ahimsa paramo dharma. Isn't it? We don't want to hurt anybody. Isn't it? Okay. Then, that is the end means. Then what about two lifestyles then? Are there two paths then? No. There's no path. Knowledge is moksha. For knowledge, if knowledge means not simply knowledge, it's an ascertained, doubt-free vision of the reality as the self. Itself is moksha. Isn't it? Is full, doubling in fullness. And for which all that you need is, the reality is not away from you. The very reality is to be discovered, the very fullness to be discovered, the freedom to be discovered is very self. Which is there all the time as the witness of the mind. Always it is there, still it is not available. Look at this. Always there, it is not available for understanding, recognition. Hiding. See, this way hide and seek game. Okay, my God. It is always there, but I'm not able to see. That's why this mind, the turbulent mind, becomes calm. You will see that reality will reveal itself to you. That is what is preparation of the mind, isn't it? Therefore, the preparation of the mind is what? Jnana yogyata praptihi. Eligibility required for jnanam. Jnanam is moksha. Mokshaya jnanam. Isn't it? So jnanam is moksha. So jnana praptaye jnana yogaha. So life, all for this ascertained vision of the reality, all that it needs is calm, relatively pure and steady mind, focused on the nature of reality, constantly dwelling upon the nature of reality, will bless one with this vision. So contemplative life, isn't it, will bless one with the vision of this reality. But for contemplative life, to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, mind must be relatively pure and steady. That is the preparation required for jnanam. Therefore, for that preparation required for the jnanam, what is that jnana yogyata praptihi, isn't it, for which karma yoga lifestyle. One precedes the other, isn't it? Other one follows. Therefore, karma yoga lifestyle is for preparation. Jnana yoga life is for the prepared minded person. ஏற்றமணி ஜான யோக்யதா பிராப்தையே கர்மயோகா, ஜான பிராப்தையே ஜான யோகா. டூ லைஃப் ஸ்டெப்ஸ், சிம்பிள். இஸ் இட் கிளியர் நவ்? அண்ட் ஹியர் கம்ஸ் தி டவுட். வாட் இஸ் தி டவுட்? தீஸ் ஆர் த டூ லைஃப் ஸ்டைல்ஸ். நோ, வாட் சாய்ஸ் இஸ் தேர் ஃபார் யூ? யூ நோ வேர் யூ ஆர். Then the doubt might come, then should I, you know, one doesn't need to feel inferior, one doesn't need to feel superior here, isn't it? For everybody, the one who lives life of karma yoga, makes an effort to live karma yoga in order to prepare himself for to live a life of jnana yoga. One lives a life of jnana yoga for jnana. So ultimately, One who lives life of contemplation, for him also knowledge is the end. One who lives life of karma yoga, for him also knowledge is the end. So for one, whoever lives with, for people of both lifestyles, end is one and the same. Is it clear now? Ends are not many. End is one. People who, those are prepared, they choose to live a life of contemplation. Those are not ready, they have to choose to live life of karma yoga. Is it clear now? And here comes, what about the people who talk about four paths? Isn't it? For four paths. What about Raja Yoga? And what about Bhakti Yoga? Bhakti is also said to be one of the means. Karma Yoga, isn't it? In fact, Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga means meditation, upasana. Isn't it? Bhakti means, bhakti also is what? Devotion also comes under, both come under karma yoga. That's why to say the four paths lead to moksha is a wrong thing. And why? Meditation is a mental activity. Comes under what? Karma yoga. Bhakti, devotion also is what now? What is bhakti? Isn't it? So here we have to make it very, very clear here. Krishna will say in Bhagavad Gita very clearly, Jnani is the best of the devotees. One who knows the reality is the best of the devotees. One who wants to know who the Lord is, what the reality is the real devotee. Isn't it? Therefore, this Karma Yogi is a Bhakta. And then Sannyasi is also what? A Bhakta. One who lives a life of Jnana Yoga, Sannyasi, is a real Bhakta. One who lives a life of karma yoga is also a real bhakta. Why? They both want to know the reality. They both want to know this truth, isn't it? They both are jignasu bhaktas. They are real devotees. But bhakti is not a separate path. Bhakti also is what? Living a life of karma yoga is what? Bhakti yoga. Is it clear now? It has to be very clear. Bhakti is not a separate path. There's no... And then, whatever you do to express your devotion to Bhagavan, our religious rituals, etc., the prayers and worship and chanting, offering, etc., all these are what activities, no? Fasting, eating, fasting or eating, offering, singing, chanting, reciting, going to temples, going to church, and walking around, all these are what activities, no? Still karma only. Isn't it? It's expression of the devotion. But this is a karma. So come under what? Karma yoga. If that is why, if end is very clear, whatever you do becomes yoga. The end is not very clear, then whatever you do is just the karma. Karma yoga in due course of time will prepare one for jnanam, that will free you. Therefore it is the indirect means for moksha. Whereas karma will continuously bind you. Karma binds, karma yoga liberates. Is it clear now? So he said, so Krishna said, Loke asmin loke dvividhanishta pura prokta maya anagha. Hey anagha, O sinless Arjuna. No, actually speaking, when Shastram addresses a student, anybody, the student of Shastra is addressed by Shastram as what? Anagha. And when you study Shastram, when you say, oh my God, I'm a sinner, I have committed many sins, I have punyam, I have papam, I have punyam, I'm sorrowful, I have that, I have this, I am that. When you say, you lament, saying what? You have all punya papa, isn't it? And what Shastra, that means what? Completely remaining steeped in ignorance. You say what? I'm a sinner, I'm a papi, I'm a punyavan, I'm papavan, etc. You say that. But what Shastram says? Shastram addresses you as what you are. Anagha. The self is actually always free from all punya papas. Self has no punyam, no papam, isn't it? What are you? Now, Shastram does not address the physical body. Shastram does not address the, isn't it, senses. Shastram does not address here, but your organs of actions, isn't it? Shastram does not address your pranas. Shastram addresses you, the one who's listening, receptive. Not the physical body, isn't it? And who is the one who is listening there? Buddhi, isn't it? Where that Buddhi is? One who is there as the listener. The Buddhi, isn't it? Who is the listener there? There is no listener without Atma, isn't it? Listener is who? Listener is actually the self. Atma. That Atma is what? Awareness, isn't it? Does awareness have any punyam? Any papam? Is awareness a papi, sinner? No. Therefore, how should the Shastram address us? How? Anagha, O sinless. He anagha. He says, no, dvividha nishta pura prokta maya. Two lifestyles have been already prescribed by me. Mean what? In Shastram. And then two lifestyles are for what? Jnana yogena sankhyanam. For those who are endowed with contemplative disposition of the mind. No, those who have given up all pursuits to the exclusion of jnanam, pursuit of knowledge, they are called sankhyaha, sannyasinaha. For such people, life of contemplation, jnana yoga, life of self-enquiry has been prescribed. For others, karma yogina, karma yogaha. Others who had to prepare themselves for this jnanam, for contemplative disposition, and for them, life of karma yoga has been prescribed. The two committed lifestyles. One is for preparing, one is for those who are prepared for jnanam. Isn't it? You just leave the lifestyle, it will take care of what you have to accomplish. Jnana yogena, sankhyanam, karma yogena, yoginam. Then he has to say, now what? Both karma yogi and jnana yogi are equally great. Sannyasi, a jnana yogi who lives a life of contemplation, who lives a life of self-enquiry, he and the person who lives a life of karma yoga, both are equally important, equally superior, equally great. No person of any lifestyle is inferior to anybody, any other life, person of any other lifestyle. Isn't it? Both are great. Why? Because both have purushartha nischaya, both are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, both are mukshus, both are jignasus. For both, jnanam is the ultimate end. Isn't it? One is committed exclusively to the pursuit of knowledge. One is committed to the pursuit of knowledge along with the effort to prepare himself for knowledge. Isn't it? So, next shloka. What next shloka? Third one.
Therefore, we had to the third one.
David G, sorry, because what happened, we thought you are not going to come, and the many people who are interested in Bhashyam, they are not here. today.
You are not here.
No. We thought, because you said you had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So what happened, because many people or other people are not here today who are really keen for Bhashyam. You are also not here for the Bhashyam. Other can talk something more about Karma Yoga, isn't it? That's why I didn't go to the Bhashyam today.
Oh, yes. In fact, what I'm doing is tomorrow, on Sunday, that's why I'm here.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Anyway, see, whatever I do, repetition is good for you. You're not going to do any wrong thing.
I'm very pleased.
Na karmana manarambhat. So warm, isn't it? Naishkarmyam purushoshnute, naishkarmyam purushoshnute, nacha sanyasana deva, nacha sanyasana deva, siddhim samadhi gacchati, siddhim samadhi gacchati. Pitichi, excuse me, would you please give me some water? I'm so thirsty, I don't know. Get a big cup of water, I'm so thirsty. That is so cool. It goes nice. Now it's so warm. My God, I don't know how much. Why so much are heating here?
It's very hot.
Isn't it? Do you feel the warmth?
I feel, but then my feet get very cold.
You're cold, Mariyama?
No, my feet. They're all wrapped up.
Okay. I don't know, maybe because I ate idli.
Yeah, you said it.
Okay.
Now what happened? I ate idlis, that's why I'm thirsty.
I thought you very
hot. I'm going to tell Bandhakumaji to share some air bills here. Too much of heating, isn't it? Okay, we'll say. Na karmana manarambhat, na karmana manarambhat, naishkarmyam purushoshnute, naishkarmyam purushoshnute, na cha sanyasana deva, na cha sanyasana deva, siddhim samadhi gacchati, siddhim samadhi gacchati. So, first he explains immediately, having talked about his two lifestyles, immediately he talks about sannyasa, jnana yoga lifestyle should not be mistaken for what is sannyasa. What is sannyasa should be correctly understood. The third verse, he explains a jnana yoga lifestyle should be correctly understood. Living a life of contemplation should be correctly understood. A sannyasa lifestyle should be correctly understood. Not misunderstood. Isn't it? So he explains what is sannyasa. What is, okay, living a life of contemplation means what? Isn't it? Okay, living a life of contemplation means actually mentally being contemplative. Contemplative means what? Isn't it? Contemplative means being focused on the nature of reality. Attention of the mind being placed in nature of reality. Or attention of the mind being placed on the self. Atma sarupe na dhyanam. Sarupa dhyanam. Sarupa anusandhanam. That is contemplation, isn't it? So, if that is contemplation, then that means what? We should not be doing any other more physical activities then, isn't it? For what? Give up all the activities. That means what the people think, I have to sit in one place all the time, like a bakasura. See, I told once, okay, in Shastram there is something called Yakshanusaram Balihi. No? Yakshanusaram Balihi means what? In keeping with the demon, you have to offer oblations. It's in the devata, whoever invite for devata, you offer oblations into the fire in Agnikunda in Asahavis. And who is the devata invoked? Accordingly, you have to offer oblations. Yaksha anusaram balihi. Suppose next door child comes, a 3 year old, and then uncle, my birthday today, comes and gives a chocolate. Immediately, what will you give? you can give some 5 pounds or some 2 pounds or some biscuits and chocolates, a packet, or one bouquet of rose, something you give, isn't it? And then your cat comes from the garden. You can give some food here. You have cat food, you just sprinkle some, isn't it? And you suppose Bakasura comes to your house for food, isn't it? Call Bakasura for food and offer him 2 grapes and 2 cashew nuts. What will he do? He just needs to disappear, isn't it? He has... My God, so thirsty. I could feel that how thirsty I was. No? Like that, you can't give now. So it's called Yakshanusaram Balihi. It's a Vedic usage, okay? In Yajna Prasthanam, you have to offer. Thank you. He has bought like a Yakshanusaram Balihi. Like a Bakasa is but big. Thank you, Padiji. So, this is what Sukham. Now, what is Sukham? But very thirsty. And you get clean water, nice, really good water also. Sukham. This is Sukham. See, any discomfort is relieved, there is fraction of Sukham. That minute, when something goes in, some discomfort is relieved, you forget yourself. There is fraction of Sukham, fullness, which is a pleasure. Anyway, so here, this is Na Karmanam Anarambaha. Look at this. So, meditative life, meditation means mind is involved, therefore, what? Karmanam Anarambaha. Non-beginning of any activities. Isn't it? Na karmana manarambhat. Non-beginning of any... not starting any of the activities. Isn't it? Then, okay, sometimes people do not start any karma activities. Otherwise, if they have started already some activities, then they give up what they have started. Either not beginning to do anything, or if they have already begun, giving up what they have given is what? They think sannyasaha. Some people. Giving up their undertakings is sannyasa, mistaken for sannyasa. Or not beginning to do anything is what? Is mistaken for sannyasa. So Krishna makes it very clear. Before he talks, he knows where people immediately will jump to. Oh, let me become sannyasi, let me go for jnanam. I don't want any karma because karma is all difficult, isn't it? Easy life. Therefore Krishna wants to, first he wants to stop people from that. Nakarmanam anarambhat naishkarmyam purushaha ashnute. Na. He begins the na. Karmanam anarambhat. Na. By not beginning to do anything, by giving up activities totally, isn't it? Purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Naishkarmyam here means mokshaha. Naishkarmyam means what? Naishkarmyam is a noun. What does naishkarmyam implies? Mokshaha. Mokshaha is implied by naishkarmyam? Because naishkarmyam... Karma, action, nishkarma, actionless, adjective, naishkarmyam, noun, actionlessness. Actionlessness is what? Nature, swarupam. Of what? Reality. So actionlessness and reality are not two different things. And happiness and reality are not two different things. Therefore what? Naishkarmyam. Actionlessness is equal to reality, isn't it? And reality is equal to fullness. Therefore, actionless is equal to what? Fullness. Fullness is what? Mokshaha. Isn't it? Therefore, naishkarmyam implies what? Mokshaha. Is there now? And na ashnute means what? One enjoys or one attains, isn't it? One does not enjoy. One does not really enjoy, one really does not see what fullness is, what actionlessness is, what moksha is. One does not attain really moksha by what? By not doing, by not beginning to do anything. There attainment of moksha is not possible by not beginning to do any karma. He says, Nacha sanyasanat eva siddhim na samadhigacchati. Sanyasanat eva. Now, or after having started some work also and giving up those whatever all the one's endeavors also will not what? Your help want to work siddhim na samadhigacchati. One does not attain success in terms of discovery of fullness. Isn't it? One cannot attain, one cannot be successful in accomplishing moksha. One attain success, attains moksha. That means what? Non-performance of actions or performance of actions. Isn't it? Why? Because a naishkarmyam is not something to be attained at all. Isn't it? It's already there. Therefore, whether you do the karma, you do not do the karma, having uttered the karma, giving up the karma, that is not nothing to do with moksha. Whether you do the karma, you don't do the karma, you don't begin to do karma, having begun the karma, you want to give up the karma, these things have nothing to do with moksha. Isn't it? Moksha is something to be understood, something to be known, discovered. Isn't it? Because naishkarmyam is what? Naishkarmyam is not simply being inactive physically. Physical inaction is not actionlessness. Isn't it? Physical inaction is not actionlessness. Inaction is different. Isn't it? Being inactive physically is not moksha really. Naishkarmyam means actionlessness. Actionlessness means what? Silence. Silence means what? Isn't it? Because it's a swarupam. What action does consciousness do? What action does consciousness do? No action. Consciousness doesn't do any action. Even though no action is possible without consciousness, consciousness does not do any action. Actionlessness is what? Swarupam. Isn't it? Therefore, this swarup, actionlessness, is something to be discovered, which is discovery of moksha, discovery of fullness, discovery of reality, for which karma has nothing to do with karma. Isn't it? You do it, still you won't get moksha. You don't do it, still you won't get moksha. It has to be understood. Isn't it? So, giving up physical activities will not take one any distance from where one is in terms of moksha, because it's to be understood. That means what? Oh, that means that should I do karma? Mere performance of action also will not help one attain moksha. Why? Because already this answer is given. Moksha is something to be discovered, something to be understood. So performance of action also will not help you. Non-performance action also will not help you. Giving up of action also will not help you. What will help you then? You have to know. How can I know? Be contemplative. How can I be contemplative? Be pure and steady. How can I be pure and steady? No. Live life of dharma. How can I live life of dharma? Do karma. Or to live dharma. Isn't it? Do karma to live dharma. So clear what I'm saying? There's no way of living a life of dharma without doing karma. Isn't it? Performance of karma becomes what? Isn't it? In fact, is a dharmi. Becomes a, for a dharmi. There's no dharma cannot express itself. No, only through action dharma has to be expressed. Therefore, isn't it? Not to live dharma, one has to do karma. Therefore, kuru karma. Do karma in order to live dharma, to express, to give expression to dharma. Understand? Dharma is what? Where is the value? It's all understanding in your attitude, isn't it? isn't it? Understanding. That has to be expressed. So dharma, a knowledge of dharma, which is there in you, isn't it? As knowledge of values, and which gets expressed when it is lived. So that dharma has to be expressed, for which dharma has to be lived, for which karma has to be performed. So karma has to be performed in order to give, to live dharma, for dharma to be expressed. Is it clear enough? If you don't speak at all, how can the value of truthfulness be expressed? Where is the value of truthfulness? Isn't it? If you don't move around, don't see things and don't do anything, how can the value of non-stealing will be expressed? You have to see things for you to have desire, still not to steal and rob, isn't it? So one has to do karma for what? For giving expression to live dharma. Why one has to live dharma? For dharma to be expressed. In expressing dharma alone, what happens? One expands, mind expands. Expansion of mind implies what? One sees more, one has more light, wherein one becomes pure and steady. The narrowness goes, isn't it? So that in pure and steady mind is for what? Then one can dwell upon. Isn't it? Then one can know the truth, discover. Therefore, karma has to be done. Then when dharma, the value of dharma is recognized and dharma is lived, isn't it? Diligently, then what happens? Then actually, because that life becomes life of karma yoga, which self-indict means for moksha. So Krishna makes it very clear, simply renouncing activities, non-performance of actions, will not bless one with anything. Naishkramyam na ashnute karmanam karma sanyasanadeva siddhim manavaha na siddhim na adhigachati. That's definitely not in moksha. It's very clear. Na karma namanarambhat manarambhat naishkarmyam purushoshnute naishkarmyam purushoshnute nacha sanyasana deva nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Then he explains. Now next shloka he's going to explain why. Okay, second thing, first what he said, he hasn't gone to karma yoga. He only explains because people will immediately jump for sannyasa. Isn't it? Why? Oh, moksha. They want jnanam. It means what? Give up all the activities. Isn't it? People will think, no, he has to make it very, sannyasa is not simply giving up activities. Sannyasa is not escaping, going away somewhere. Sannyasa is not just giving up all the endeavors one has started. No, there's no moksha, there's no naishkarma, there's no actionlessness, there's no happiness, there's no freedom, there's no attainment of success really in non-performance of actions. Made very clear. Then he says, not only non-performance of actions will not bless one naishkarmyam, the moksha, actionlessness, not only giving up of action will not bless one with any success, not only that, it is not possible for one to remain without doing any karma. It is a very, very, very important thing. It is impossible for any living organism to be without involved in any activities. Understand? That is what all people have to be taught. People who think this, karma is a must. It is not a must. It is impossible for one to be without karma. No? He says, why he's going to say that. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi, nahi kaschit kshanamapi, jatu tishtatya karma krit, jatu tishtatya karma krit, nahi kaschit kshanamapi, nahi kaschit kshanamapi, jatu tishtatya karma krite, jatu tishtatya karma krite. In fact, doing like verse like this and coming back to Bhashma, very nice also. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi,
nahi kaschit kshanamapi,
jatu tishtatya karma krite, jatu tishtatya karma krite. Karyate hyavashah karma, karyate hyavashah karma, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi, karyate hyavashah karma, karyate hyavashah karma, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Now he says, kshanamapi kaschit jatu na tishtati. Jatu ever. Jatu is an indicative word. Jatu ever. Na tishtati. Ever does one remain. Isn't it? What? Akarmakrita. Karmakrita means performer of action. As a non-performer of actions, one does not remain ever, isn't it? Never does one remain as a non-performer of actions. That means what? Giving up physical activities does not make one inactive person. Physical inaction, isn't it, does not make one non-performer of actions. Isn't it? Karma krite, akarma krite, kaschit, kshanamapi. He says, even for a fraction of a second, you can't say you are a non-performer of actions. One does not remain, no? Kshanamapi, kaschit, kshanamapi, jatu, no? Tishtati, akarma krite. Never does one remain, now even for a second, without doing any action. That means what? Now if I sit like this, what does it mean? Without moving. Sitting is an action. I close my eyes. Closing your eyes is an action. I lie down. Lying down is an action. I sleep. That is also what now? It was act of lying down, isn't it? No, I sit and sleep. Still action. Even the physically you are inactive, still there are many functions happening. What is that? Breathing is happening. Therefore energy is exhausted. So what? Next day, after some time you will feel hungry. So you have to eat, isn't it? Therefore what? It's not possible, isn't it? You have to open your mouth, somebody has to push more food into your mouth. Even that was an action, isn't it? Digestion. So where is action? Even if you do all these things, your mind will be very busy. Thoughts will be coming in, thoughts will be coming, thoughts will be happening, thoughts will be staying, thoughts will be going. Is mind quiet? Mind is very noisy. You think mind is not silent. You sit quietly, physically, but mind is very noisy. It means what? There's a lot of things going on. Why? Because, really speaking, nobody can ever remain without doing any actions, even for a fraction of a second. Why is it so? Why is it? Because, he says, the whole body, mind, sense complex, is it mind? The subtlest manifestation, isn't it? Sense powers, subtle manifestations, all powers of organs of action, the physiological functions, and all the internal organs and the external forms, the whole physical body, all of them are what? Material products. Isn't it? Prakriti janyam. Prakritikam. Prakritikam means what? It is an elemental product, isn't it? It is a material product. Prakritikam, it is material. The very word prakriti, if you say, prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. That out of which something is made. That by which something is made is prakriti. Prakritihi. Prakarshena kriyate anaya. Iti prakritihi. The very word prakriti implies means what? Material. Isn't it? Out of which something is made. Shirt is made. Then what is prakriti? Cloth is prakriti. Out of which something is made. Isn't it? Pot is made. Out of which something, pot is made. What is prakriti there? Clay. Isn't it? When you say the whole universe, even the whole universe, every living organism is what? Combination of subtle and gross, gross forms. Every living organism, subtle form and also gross form. All other what? All objects of knowledge. And all these objects of knowledge are what? Material in nature. All the objects of knowledge, isn't it? All material in nature. Why? Because material means what? What is prakriti for the body means complex. Prakriti means what? Subtle elements alone became what? Gross elements. Gross elements alone what actually? No? Elements we have. Every gross element is what has every other element also. So what about the earth? The grossest of the elements. And this grass earth has all the four other elements also in it. Isn't it? And from the earth alone is what? All the plants grow. So plants are what? Isn't it? So prakriti, earth becomes the prakriti, plants become the prakriti, isn't it? Material in nature. And from the plants what? Food. And food is what? Body is born of food, sustained by food, and then again what grows in food. Sustained by food. Isn't it? Again becomes food for other beings. When this disintegrated, what happens to it? It becomes food for other beings. Isn't it? Food, manure means what? Becomes manure, a physical body. Therefore it becomes food for plant, and plant becomes food for other living beings. Isn't it recycled? Isn't it? It is natural recycling. That is why it's clean. Atmosphere is clean, not dirty, isn't it? Not stinking and not dirty and all that. It's clean. Everything is naturally recycled. Recycling, we got this idea of recycling only from nature. Isn't it? Nothing is our own. Nothing. See, even idea of recycling, Bhagavan has blessed already with that. Buddhi. Nothing is ours. Everything is already given. Isn't it? This is prakriti. And this prakriti, material product means, what is it? A prakriti, in fact, three gunas. Three gunas are expressed. What are three gunas? Three gunas you cannot see through physical eyes. Three powers. Three subtle powers, unexpressed is Maya, isn't it? Three subtle powers, unexpressed, the threefold powers, isn't it? The string of threefold powers, unexpressed is called Maya. Three subtle powers, expressed become what? Isn't it? Expressed are expressions of three subtle unmanifest powers are looked upon as three gunas. And how these three guna, three powers, subtle, unmanifest, subtle powers are expressed? Become the manifest, what way you see? As knowledge, the capacity to know is what? Expression of own power. The capacity to desire is expression of power. The capacity to do is expression of power. Isn't it? It is already there. Three powers are already there. Where they are there, that's all. You can't ask. They are very subtle. As part and parcel of inseparably, they are there already as part of the reality. Inseparable, inherent is an unmanifest powers. Where are they? Where are the powers that are already unmanifest? How do you know they were unmanifest? Because they're manifest, so we know they must have been unmanifest before. Isn't it? When you see this, when you see the plant, you say what? Oh, how is this plant suddenly I'm seeing here? It must have been there what? All in a seed form. The seed must have been there. Now it's a plant. So what? These three powers expressed are what now? The three powers expressed are given three gunas, names three gunas. Understand now? Really speaking, you can't see gunas with a photograph. Okay, this is Rajaguna, this is Sattvaguna, this is Tamaguna. You can't photograph three gunas. Understand? You can't even point to this is what Sattvaguna, this is what Rajaguna. There are gunas cannot be seen, cannot understand now, have you understood? Gunas are, three gunas are the names, Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas. Three names are given as three gunas to the expressions of threefold unmanifest subtle powers. Is it clear now? Their Prakriti. And what is the nature of that Prakriti? Now, what is the nature? Swabhava, isn't it? Swabhava means what? Unchangeable. Nature is what? What cannot be changed at all is the nature. Understand now? What can be changed is what? Isn't it? Wrong understanding, misunderstanding can be changed by bringing in right understanding. Isn't it? What cannot be changed at all is intrinsic. This nature. Is it clear now? And what is intrinsic? Isn't it? Now, what cannot be changed on the part of the fire? Isn't it? One day I'll make fire cold. I'll try my best to change it means what? Impossible, isn't it? Why? Intrinsic. Then what do we call the heat as what? Nature. Swarupam, isn't it? Like that, when you call it the nature, what is Swabhava? Swabhava means what? That is how it is. Swabhava means what? One's own being, the way of being. How it is what? Swabhava, Swarupam, isn't it? What is a Swabhava, Swarupam of the nature? Constantly undergoing change. That's why change is the something which cannot be changed. Understand now? On the part of what? Nature, Prakriti. It is of the nature of changing. Why it is changing? Let us try to stop it. It is like trying to make the fire cold, isn't it? It is not possible. Why? Swabhava. Swadharma. Constantly undergoing a change is its Swabhava. That is why, this law of uncertainty itself is because of this. You know that? They can never come to certain definite conclusion about certain things. Why? Because constantly Prakriti, the matter, in fact matter, which is, isn't it, material cause is what? Is of the nature of undergoing changes. And that matter has what? No matter, isn't it, the Prakriti. That is the nature. And the Prakriti, what is it? All the threefold powers are three subtle powers are unmanifest. It's called what? Maya or Prakriti. The three powers, unmanifest subtle powers, when they become, they get expressed. Expressions of three subtle powers, unmanifest powers, are given what? Three different names as what? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha and tamo gunaha. You do not see the gunas, you understand the three powers, expressions of three powers. As what? As the capacity to know, capacity to desire, capacity to do. that capacity, you can understand Shakti, you understand Shakti being there, you understand Shakti being manifest, but you can't really see it, is it? Sukshma. Therefore, this Prakriti Jaihi Gunaihi Karma Karyate. Karma, a constantly activities are being, isn't it? Being caused. Activities are caused by what? By the three, four expressions of three unmanifest powers in the name of three gunas. Because of the nature of the matter. See, the change which takes place in the part of the matter itself is what? Because the matter is undergoing a change. The change is what? Causes motion and movement. Thereby what? Therefore activity, it becomes activity in the part of a living organism. Is it clear now? So body is a matter. Mind is a matter. Mind also is matter, isn't it? Hardware, even the hardware still is a matter. Mind is a conscious mind, all is what? Matter. Amazing, isn't it? Mind is matter, senses are matter, powers are, everything is matter here. But living organism, that's the only difference. Even a non-living thing, there are, isn't it? There are functions. And because of the nature of the matter. That is why they could discover all these, the protons, electrons, this, all these things, the discovery of all these things are possible because of the nature of the matter. Because it's all the constantly, it's of the nature of undergoing change. Isn't it? Prakritihi, Prakriti Jaihi Gunaihi. What is Prakriti Jaihi Gunaihi? These gunas, three gunas, Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha, which are what? These gunas, which cannot be seen through physical eyes, but which can be understood as threefold, as expressions of threefold unmanifest subtle capacities, powers. See, powers. Isn't it? In the form of activities. All the activities can be analyzed and categorized as expressions of these threefold, isn't it? Subtle powers in the name of three gunas. You can only categorize the activities. All the activities we do, we are involved, the function of the mind, the perceptions, functions of the sense powers, functions of the physical, the powers of organs of actions, and the functions, physiological functions, and the physical activities, isn't it? All of them can be very beautifully analyzed and classified as expressions of threefold subtle unmanifest powers named as expressions of three gunas. Because these activities, now you, that means what Krishna is very clear, you do not have choice about doing action. Clear now? He taught last time, you have choice over action. Remember, karmani eva, don't get confused. Karmani eva adhikaraste, when he said you have choice over actions, means you had to do something or the other, but you can choose to do right or wrong. Because you are blessed with willpower, you are blessed with knowledge of values, you can choose to do right or wrong, isn't it? You have choice over. But you do not have choice about doing, isn't it? About not doing an action. Why? The nature. Basically, Prakriti Jaihi, that is why we understand it is impractical, it is impossible for one to remain without doing any action physically, even for a second. Why? Because the body-mind complex, being the product of matter, the nature of the matter being such that the nature of the matter, actually the matter always, by the nature of the very expressions of the subtle powers of matter itself, one is made to do karma. See, clear now? amazing. He has not gone to Karma Yoga. He talked about two lifestyles. He first wants to break our wrong understanding of sannyasa. So he, in all these shlokas, Arjuna asked, why do you ask me to do karma? That is Gaura karma. Why should I not only pursue jnanam? Because what I want can be accomplished only by jnanam. Come on, shut up, listen. You know what karma, what you want has nothing to do with doing karma or not doing karma. It is not possible for one to remain without doing the karma. One has to do the karma. Why? Because this is the very nature of the matter. It's the nature of the body mind complex, the material product, isn't it? That even if you don't want to do something, not wanting to do also is an action. You know that? Not doing an action also is an action. You know that? Not doing an action also is an action. Don't think only doing an action is an action. Not doing an action also is what? Action. Why? That is, not doing an action means what? What is what? It's also action. The expression of what? Tamoguna, isn't it? In sleep, what are we doing now? We think we don't do any action, isn't it? Physically not doing anything, but still there's something, isn't it? Because you've eaten food, the whole night is digested. You're inhaling, exhaling, isn't it? Only when the oxygen intake is stopped, then you can say, oh, I didn't do any action. That is when you can say you can don't do any action, isn't it? Therefore, there is no time. Na karmana manarambhate, you know, karmana manarambhate naishkaryam purushahana ashnute sannyasanati eva siddhim na vindati siddhim na adigachati and kaschit nahi kaschit kaschit kshanamapi akarmakrit na tishtati. Now, because prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Prakriti jaha gunaha means what? The three gunas, expressions are given, three gunas are the names given to the expressions of unmanifest subtle powers, isn't it? Subtle powers of the matter. The subtle power itself is matter. Unmanifest, see combined, inseparable, unmanifest, subtle power. Isn't it? Itself is what? Matter. That is why this subtle power, unmanifest power, isn't it? The combined subtle three powers combined, unmanifest is what? Matter. Original matter in its original form. That is why energy is nothing. Energy is very, what is subtlest for physicist is grass for Vedanta. You know that? What is subtlest for the physicist energy is still grass for the Vedanti. Is it clear now? Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma avashaha. That way you have helplessly you are chased to do karma, isn't it? You have no choice. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma avashaha karyate. Helplessly you just have no choice. Because the whole thing is, what isn't it? What say do you have over the matter and the material gunas? If you ask me, it is like, what do you mean by power being manifest and power being unmanifest? I want to tell you here. Suppose when you see the stillness of water is there. And then, there, in that the stillness of water, now we analyze very clearly what is. You closely analyze and say, we just to say H2O is there. You can't say H2O alone is there. You have to account for what? Stillness also. You have to say H2O is how it is, you know, still, isn't it? That means what? There is also what? Stillness. You have to say H2O is there, stillness is there. It seems to be the two things, isn't it? Really speaking, two things are not there. Why? One is independent, one is dependent. The stillness is something which is there, but which cannot be without H2O. Isn't it? It is there, it is not there by itself. That is what? That which cannot be there by itself is what? Maya. Yama by itself. Okay? Yama sa maya. That which does not exist by itself is maya. Is it clear now? So here, the stillness is there, but stillness alone cannot be there. The word stillness has no meaning if you remove H2O. But what is H2O then? H2O can be without being still also. Therefore what? H2O is Satyam. Trikala Abhaditam Satyam. What is this stillness then? Stillness is what? Power of the H2O. Because the power of H2O, you say, it is not something separable. You know, like Rodney G's mic, it's not separable like that, isn't it? Stillness is not separable. That means, still, what is stillness then? It is inherent, isn't it? Inherent means what? Inseparable. Something. So stillness is H2O. You have to say that. But there in that stillness is there, there are, see, stillness is nothing but unmanifest power. What is unmanifest in stillness? In the form of stillness, there's something is unmanifest. Now what is unmanifest? The capacity to rise. The power of rising. And after that, the power of dancing, moving about. The power of flowing, isn't it? All these, where are they? See, we give different reason how the ocean, why the waves come in the ocean. That's a different thing. I'm not talking going to the physics background, isn't it? I'm just telling you a little thing. Just example I'm giving. Isn't it? The what is that really? Isn't it? The power is there. The power of moving about, the power of dancing, the power of rising, isn't it? All these powers are where? They were there what? Now they're expression. When you see the wave, the powers are expressed. Expressed powers, isn't it? Okay, when the waves are not there, where are the powers? Unmanifest. Unmanifest powers is called what? Powers are unmanifest, it is called stillness. Manifest power is what? Isn't it? The stillness expressed, expression of stillness is powers, unmanifestation of, unmanifest powers is called stillness. Is it clear now? Unmanifest powers is given a name, stillness. Manifest powers, manifestation of stillness is what? Powers. Isn't it? But the power does not exist. Unmanifest power or the manifest powers. Unmanifest power is stillness. Manifest powers. No, waves are manifest powers. Power, whether power is manifest or unmanifest, it is not outside of H2O, the powerful. Is it clear now? So, the H2O does not do any action, isn't it? Powers alone, isn't it? Like that he says, that is how she here also, I don't want to go to the consciousness now. I want to understand this, the whole, in fact, the matter, isn't it? What is matter? If you say, what is matter? Prakritihi, maya, avyaktam, avyakritihi, isn't it? So many words we have, avyaktam, avyakritihi, prakritihi, maya, all the words we use. What is prakritihi? That by which, out of which something is made is prakriti. What is prakriti with reference to waves? Stillness. Stillness, don't talk about H2O, okay? Stillness is prakriti, out of which waves come into manifest being, isn't it? Prakriti for the waves is what? stillness. Okay. And then this, okay, like that, Prakriti for the universe also is there. Matter, isn't it? That power is there. And similar, that unmanifest power, okay? And similarly, next word is what? Avyaktam. Matter is called also avyaktam, isn't it? Why? Because matter is called avyaktam. Why? Because the manifest powers, originally they are, when the powers are unmanifest, they are what? So stillness is what? Unmanifest power of rising, moving, etc. is what? Where are they? Avyaktam. So unmanifest. In the noun is what? Avyaktam is a participle. Avyakriti is a noun, same meaning. Unmanifestation is the meaning. And Maya, another word. No way, Maya. My God, this Maya, this stillness. You can't say stillness is not there at all. You have to say stillness is very much there. At the same time, you can't say stillness really is. Why? A stillness, that which is not by itself, that which does not exist by itself is what? Maya. Ya ma sa maya. That which is not really, that which is as though is maya. So maya is mithya. Isn't it? Mithya is maya. Okay? Maya is mithya. Is it clear now? That's why it's called maya. So prakriti is what? It's given a name maya. But understand why it is called maya? Similarly, you have to understand with reference to example only. I give example of stillness to make you understand. Similarly, so far the ocean full of waves, actually the matter is what? Stillness. Leave the efficient, intelligent, isn't it? Efficient cause different. H2, isn't it? A material cause is what? Stillness. Is it clear now? What is manifest now? What is the ocean full of waves is what? Modified expressions of the unmanifest powers of stillness. It's clear now? And what is the efficient cause there? H2O. Isn't it? But here we have to say apart from the intelligent cause. Yes, I'm giving you example. Just don't take it seriously. Just understand example. Example, you have to understand and leave it as come back. We shouldn't go down to example for all the time. Similarly, with reference to this whole jagat also, there is what? There is a reality, and which itself is what? Outside of which, there is no matter. Isn't it? There is matter, which is really not, isn't it, by itself, but which is not outside of the reality. That matter, in what form is the matter? The mind cannot understand, you know that? What form is the matter? The matter is the subtlest. How subtle it is? Subtlest means what? How subtle it is? Originally, now, how subtle it is? All that we see, all the activities, all the motions, all the movements, all the functions seen on the part of living and non-living things everywhere, they are just all the motions, the commotions are just expressions of, no? Expressions of three gunas. Isn't it? Given three gunas means expressions of three subtle, subtlest, unmanifest powers. Manifestation of three unmanifest powers. Understand now? Then what is the nature of that prakriti? Prakriti jehi gunaha. Okay? They are of the nature of undergoing change. So what? It is impossible for one to remain without doing any action even for a second. So Arjuna, see for the question step by step, what one or the other he goes now. Why should I do karma? Understand now? He says, why you should do karma? Father, he is giving an answer now. isn't it? Why you should know? There's no choice about not. You had to know. Isn't it? You had to know. That is the culmination. Knowing is the culmination. Until jnanam, what choice do you have apart other than doing things? Why you should do? Understand now? Why you need not do? Why you should not do? That's not for jnanam, moksha. See, for when the question of moksha comes, Krishna does not say why you should not do. He only says why you need not do. When the question of preparation and karma comes, he does not say why you need not or why you should do. Is it clear? He answered that, and next he goes to this. Isn't it? Explained the nature of the matter. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma avashaha karyate. Isn't it? One is made to choicelessly, helplessly, chase to do karma, because the very constitution is what? Is matter, isn't it? Whether thin or fat, that's a different thing. That's the problem. But here, everything is matter, isn't it? Dull or bright, that's a different thing. But still activities are there. That is why uncontrollable. That is where Shastram looks at even the function of the mind. That is why psychology is very beautifully seen in, very, very well understood. That is why outwardly behavior is completely expression of the mind. It's a function. Just the natural. One has no say about it. Isn't it? That is where one initiates one's effort to what? To discipline these thoughts, to manage these thoughts. Is it clear now? Anyway, why one should do karma? Okay? In the two verses he has given an answer. What third verse? So, Bhagavan's answer, why Arjuna should do karma, why he can't help doing karma. For the two verses have been given an answer, isn't it?
Karmendriyani sanyam.
Now, he said, but still, that is the nature, one has to do karma. But how that karma should be performed? Karma has to be performed choicelessly because two reasons, isn't it? But how the karma should be performed? Karmendriyani sayamya. Karmendriyani sayamya. Ya aste.
Aste manasasam.
Karmendriyani sayamya. Karmendriyani sayamya. Ya aste manasasmaran. Ya aste manasasmaran. Okay, oh sorry, the same thing again. He talks about the, he again condemns the non-performance of actions. Okay, he condemns here. He explained why one should do karma. He again condemns the being inactive. The inaction is condemned here, this verse. Sorry. Karmendriyani sanyamya.
Karmendriyani sanyamya.
Yaaste manasasmaran.
Yaaste manasasmaran.
Indriyarthan vimodhatma. Indriyarthan vimodhatma. Prasana. Mithyacharasa uchyate. Mithyacharasa uchyate. Karmendriyani sayamya. Karmendriyani sayamya. Yaaste manasasmaran.
Yaaste manasasmaran.
Indriyarthan vimudhatma. Indriyarthan vimudhatma. Mithyacharasa uchyate. Mithyacharasa uchyate. Okay. Suppose a person shuns from all activities. No? That means what? Okay, I have asserted all my activities. That means what? Activities are not possible only if the really pressure of disease is not there. The pressure of disease is not there, then activities can be reduced. Isn't it? That means what? There must be definitely fundamental, basic, biological, natural, physical needs will be there. Like hunger and thirst, isn't it? You have to eat. You have to drink. Now, I understand now. So you have to drink. No choice about it. Maybe a little later. But you can't just keep away from, isn't it? It's a must. Because natural, biological, physical, emotional needs are there. So, but other cultivated diseases can be, one can overcome. Then the less the disease, less the needs, less the disease, the less is the pressure, then one can be free from activities. Less one is free from activities. The more one is free from activities. But here what he says, suppose simply giving up physical activities, if one sits, he does not do physical activities. Why? Because giving up physical activities, if he is mistaken for sannyasa, isn't it? That means what? Without having resolved the disease in the mind. See, disease will be resolved only in jnanam, until the jnanam takes place. Isn't it? Disease cannot be resolved. Disease will not be resolved because the very root cause of the desire is what? Ajnanam, ignorance. As long as ignorance is there, disease is there, symptoms will be showing up, isn't it? How is it possible? Ajnanam is there means ajnanam should be completely rooted out by what? You know, knowledge. Until the jnanam takes place, there will be desires. Why? There will be needs. There will be sense of inadequacy. There will be adhyasa. There will be adhyaropa. Even isn't it? Even if understanding starts takes place after shastra exposure to shastram, still the dehatma buddhi is so rooted. It's not that easy to take the I sense from body dimensions complex. Dehatma buddhi, you know, the I sense root in the body is so strong. Even if you know you are chaitanyam, you are tattamasi, atom brahma, isn't it? You are the tree, you are the whole, you are the reality, you are consciousness, you are different, you are distinct from the body's complex, though not distant, you are pure consciousness, you are existence. Shastram keeps on saying this, declarations, Mahavakyams, isn't it? But still, this vakyam, unless it's not properly processed or understood, it's a fake, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense. Even though it says, this vision has to become ingrained, isn't it? For which, until then, I sense is very strongly rooted in body, in mind, in senses, in functions. Therefore what? There is natural for one to have adhyasa, adhyaropa, and a sense of inadequacy, and on the body, and thereby needs are definite. The needs being there, disease will be cropping up. Definitely, all the time. Isn't it? When diseases are there, longing is there, definitely. Therefore, always what? Mind will be, it is natural for the mind to be dwelling on the objects of desire, objects of pleasures. It is not that easy. Where any desire, the diseases are natural, so diseases are unresolved, diseases cannot be destroyed at all. The disease will be what? Will be there. So, yeah, diseases are there, unresolved, therefore what now? Therefore, the desire for something or other will be there. Whatever the desire is for, that object of desire, object of, you know, the desire for pleasure, you know, born of even object, those all will be sitting in your mind. You can't undo. How will you undo it? How to scrape and throw it away? Desire can be destroyed. Desire for the object of desire also cannot be, isn't it? Like scraped and thrown away, like cancer. No chemo will remove this. If you're sitting there, for mind there's no chemo, okay? Shastra means only chemo. But non-recurrence, okay? It won't recur again. The buddhi. Isn't it? physical mind will recur, but buddhi, no. Once buddhi, it is destroyed. That's all. It's gone for good. So it is there, you know. Therefore, he says, "What now? Somebody sits here simply with giving up all activities and says, 'Or karma indra, karmani, karma indriyani sanyamya.' Okay, he completely controls. Come on, I have will now. I won't do any actions." Let me sit quietly without doing any activities. So one does not, one controlling willingly, say using one's will, one controls one's organs of actions, one prevents oneself from activity, they were what now? One does not do anything physically. Karmendriyani sanyamya upavishati. He sits without doing any activities. That means what? He has controlled his organs of actions. But what does he do? Indri arthan manasasmaran. Manasasmaran. But mind is where? Mind is dwelling, thinking, manasa, mentally, smaran. In the mind, thinking of the objects of desire, objects of pleasures. Manasasmaran. Manasasmaran, what does he think? What is he thinking of? Mentally, what is he thinking in his mind? Smaranam itself, manasa only. You don't need to say vachasna. You can't think physically. You can't think. This is why manasa smaran means what? In the mind. That means a dwelling upon the objects of pleasures and the objects of desires in the mind, having desires without having resolved the desires, without having addressed the problem of rising of desires. Isn't it? Simply remaining. No, controlling one's organs of actions and not doing one's activities is what? Karma indriyani samyamya. Yaha aste manasasmaran indriya arthan. Objects of perception, objects of knowledge. Objects of knowledge are the objects of desire, isn't it? You can't have desire for object which you do not know. Isn't it? It is not possible for one to have desire for an object which one does not know. Can you ever say that? Now, I really liked something. What did you like? You know, something which I tell you, what is that? No, I haven't seen that. I haven't tasted that. I haven't heard about it. I haven't smelt about it. I don't know how it looks also, how it touches, feels also. But I had to say for something like that. It's impossible, isn't it? That is why object of perception alone will be your object of knowledge. Object of desire. Isn't it? Object of desire is something which is already known to you. That is why he says, Indriya Arthan. Indriya Arthaha means what? Objects of perception. Which are objects of knowledge. Which you know. Thereby, once you know the object alone, you develop desire for object. That is why in India, all the girl children are always prevented, protected. That's why certain always in India, always young children are always, we always in fact preserve innocence. You know that? Very important. Preserving innocence also is important until one certain sometime. They do not know about it. To have desire for it. To do wrong things, to go against it. Isn't it? It is dharma. It is very important to preserve innocence. Certain areas. One doesn't even know that one is ignorant of certain things. That's called innocence. Innocence has been preserved. And one slowly blooms. Like slowly how from 1 week, 2 weeks, the tulips took so 2 weeks for it to bloom. To become like this, just like this, naturally. I think children also naturally they pick up knowledge. Isn't it? Because it is impossible for one to have any longing, any desire for something which is not known to one. Therefore, indriya arthan eva, indriya arthaha, the objects of perception which are perceived, which become known, thereby which become objects of pleasure, which become objects of desire. that objects of desire will be definitely sitting in the mind, isn't it? Mind will be dwelling upon objects of desire if the desires are not resolved. Okay? You are helpless. How much ever you sit without doing any activities, controlling your, no, you yourself make effort, no, ask somebody to tie all your hands and legs and sit things here, ask somebody not to keep any food in front of me, everything, because you so love like eating and drinking, nothing is there, but what you do? Sitting there, clean, you will be dwelling on that only. My God, isn't it? Krishna is so beautiful, he presents so beautiful, isn't it? Amazing. So, see, this is systematic, one by one, very clearly it is said. So, indriyarthan manasa, indriyarthan manasa smaran, thinking of the objects in the mind, now controlling yourself, organs of activities without doing any actions. If a person sits like that, okay, he is real hypocrite. It means what? If a person has disease, disease had to be fulfilled, for which one has to do karma. But only thing is, that karma should not transgress universal values. Without transgressing universal values, in conformity with the universal values, do something to fulfill genuinely your desires. Then it becomes yoga. But without doing anything, isn't it? Thinking of the objects in your mind, dwelling upon them in the mind, if you sit or give up everything, that does not make you a desireless person. That does not make... So inactive person is only lazy, idle goose. He cannot be... goose will be very upset if I say, because goose is always very busy. Paddling, no? And so, really, I shouldn't say that. And then, in fact, I shouldn't even use the word, because in India, that's what we say, lazy goose, I don't know how I got it. No. Idle and lazy, that does not mean one is inactive, physically inactive, does not make one the person of desirelessness. The person of, the man of accomplishment or fulfillment. What is this behavior? Mithya acharaha. Mithya in this context, it does not our mithya, the other mithya. Okay? Mithya acharaha means there's a hypocrisy. There's no sense, there's no honesty, there's no genuineness about the person. Just there's no, isn't it? There's no veracity. It's just the hypocrisy. It's a hypocrite behavior, isn't it? Mithya acharaha uchyate, 5 o'clock. We'll read that verse again. But following was very beautiful also. Okay, you got it now? Why you should do karma? I answer for 1, 2, 3. Yeah, dream of the hereafter, the karma yoga has become go thoroughly, isn't it? Why one should do karma? Number one, number two, number three. Isn't it very beautiful? Do you see the meaning? See how Bhagavan presents so beautifully. Without having addressed the actual actual problem is agyanam here. Without having addressed that problem, you still have the symptoms, isn't it? And trying to not to show off your problems you have does not make you a problemless person, isn't it? It's real. Punishment, isn't it? In fact. Okay. Karmendriyani sayamya. Karmendriyani sayamya. Ya aste manasasmaran. Ya aste manasasmaran. Indriyarthan vimudhatma. Indriyarthan vimudhatma. Anju? No, can I move to finish the class? Where are you now? Okay, I just go to Aylesbury now with the Jagshastriji. Oh, you're not going back home then? You're not going back home then? Okay, then you're staying back here. Okay then. Okay then, I'll stay back then. Okay. So here, mithyacharasa uchyate, mithyacharasa uchyate. Then next he says, next verse is very beautiful. Yastvindriyani manasa, yastvindriyani manasa, niyamyarabhaterjuna. He says otherwise. No, it's a beautiful verse, next verse is very nice to say. Yastvindriyani manasa, yastvindriyani manasa, niyamyarabhaterjuna, niyamyarabhaterjuna. Arabhate Arjuna. Then what's the meaning? Karmendriyai karma yogam. Asaktasavisishyate. Nice verse. So without being a hypocrite. Means what? Without remaining idle and lazy, controlling his sense organs of actions, without doing any activities, thinking of the objects of desires in one's mind, without having resolved the objects, no? Without being like that, without remaining hypocrite, one can be what? Yaha, yastvindri, no? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yastvindriyani manasa niyamyarabhaterjuna. So, one who arabhate, yaha arabhate, hey Arjuna, one who starts doing activities. How does he do activities? He says, indriyani manasa niyamya. So, having mastery over one's organs of actions and sense organs. Having mastery over them. Having mastery over them implies what? Having mastery over them means, you know, being conscious of what one is doing, why one is doing, how one should be doing, etc. Having mastery over one's ways of thinking, one's active organs of actions. Isn't it? Having mastery over them. Yaha, you know, niyam manasa niyamya, karma yogam. When one starts doing activities as yoga, then it becomes what? He exhales. Saha visishyate. He exhales. Listen now. So, the non-performer is a hypocrite. A performer of activities exhales. But how does he perform? Having mastery over his senses, over his sense organs, over his organs of actions. He has shama, has dhamma, isn't it? He has mastery over all of them. What does he mean by saying mastery over all of them? See, just doing, but having mastery over all one's organs of activities and sense organs means, really speaking, you know, what does it mean? It means doing one's activities in conformity with dharma. For what? For fulfilling one's desires. That's a simple answer. Why one has to fulfill one's desires? Because desires have to be fulfilled. They have to be the problem. Having a desire is a problem. It has to be addressed. How the desire can be resolved only in jnanam. So you are living this life for discovering the reality, for jnanam, for gaining, attaining the jnanam, wherein the problem of this rising of desire will be resolved for good, isn't it? But until then, you have to be, have what? You have to have some temporary remedy, you have to have some remedy to keep the symptoms off, isn't it? So you have to be doing karma. Amazing, isn't it? You have to do karma to fulfill your desires. But how the karma should be done? in conformity with dharma. If all your actions are in conformity with dharma, means what? You are alert. We are very, very conscious of what you're doing, how you're doing, how much you're doing, isn't it? All activities are doing means what? All physical, mental, oral activities are all what you have mastery over, your ways of thinking, your sense organs, your organs of actions, your mind, isn't it? Is what he says. Yahato indriyani yastindriyani manasa niyamya. Manasa niyamya means what? You are not slave of your organs of actions or sense organs, but you have mastery over your sense organs. All your organs, you have mastery over your mind, you have mastery. Mastery means what? You have mastery over your sense organs. Organs of actions means you are conscious of doing what you are doing, therefore your actions never transgress dharma. Then that karma which is done in conformity with dharma, without transgressing dharma, having mastery over your organs of actions and actions, that karma becomes what? To fulfill your desire becomes yoga, and such a person is a karma yogi. He excels. But choose to be a karma yogi, don't be a hypocrite. Therefore, Arjuna, do karma. Why do? See, do karma. I'll tell you one of the other now. Three reasons we have seen now. No? Three or four. So, okay? We'll do this verse and we'll stop. Yastvindriyani manasa, yastvindriyani manasa, Niyam yarabhatejuna, karmendriyai karma yogam, asaktasa visishyate. So asaktaha means actually one who is not attached to karma or karma phalam. No, that object of desire or anything. That means what? He has a desire. He works for the accomplished, get the object of desire. But you know, attached means he is not dependent on the karma or karma phalam for his happiness. Isn't it now? Not being dependent on the action or the object, accomplishment of the object of desire for his fullness. He knows where fullness is, isn't it? And one who does something to fulfill the simple desire, isn't it? That means he is not attached to the karma, the object, isn't it? Without being attached, one who performs all his activities as yoga, having mastery over things, and he, that's such a person, the karma yogi, and he excels. Without the one who, you know, really doesn't do anything, because what? Hypocrite. Okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. I tell you, amazing, no? The way he presents, one of the line goes like that. Why one should do karma? Isn't it? We are talking about all these things now. Nice.